Before I get started this week, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles. She was a burnt out high school teacher who battled TMS symptoms for years before healing herself completely and leaving her dead end job. Simply put, she gets it, especially the frustration of doing all the right things, implementing the tools, and still not getting the results that you deserve. If this is you, I encourage you to book a free introductory call to learn more about her tailored one-on-one coaching program. During this time, she will identify the specific barriers that are getting in the way of you fully healing, unraveling blocks such as subconscious or negative beliefs, fearful thought patterns, or unfelt emotions is crucial for living a pain-free life again. Don't settle for partial healing. Bet on yourself by going to JeannieColwin.com. That's JeannieColwin.com to book your free call, and also check out her impressive testimonials page to see her clients' transformations firsthand. Welcome back to the show. My name is Eddie Lindenstein. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. It's been a while since I have done a shout out to the patrons of the show, but there are a couple dozen very loyal and active listeners of this show. If you are interested in supporting the podcast, go to patreon.com/ The Mind and Fitness Podcast. You can throw a few bucks in the tip jar, and usually quarterly we do some kind of a Zoom-ish get-together online that usually about a handful or a half dozen people can join, and it's a good time. So let me give a shout out to Leslie, Mary, Teresa, Albert, Jeff, Julie, Deborah, Daniel, Elise, Dominic, John, Jason, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Michael, Christina, Julie, Brian, Sarah, Arnie, and Barb. Thank you all so much. Arnie and Barb have been contributing to this show every single month since 2018. It's been almost now 6 full years. And then Sarah and Brian and Julie and Christina in 2019 and so on and so forth. So big shout out to the people that are supporting the show over and over again. So I appreciate you. This week's show, I came across this person on LinkedIn a couple of months ago, Dr. Sharon Grossman, and she typically works in the corporate space a lot of times, helping people with burnout prevention, anxiety help, depression, trauma, things like that. I actually didn't know that she was trained as a psychologist, and I learned that live in this interview. But it was fascinating. So it was really great to hear her talk about that. She loves working with high achievers, and there's a lot of parallels that you'll see between people that have this corporate burnout and then also are people that Sarna would talk about, us TMSers of the world. So I'm excited for you to listen to Dr. Sharon and I. Let's take a listen. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein. With me from Miami Beach, about as far away in the United States as you could be from where I sit, which is in Seattle, is Dr. Sharon Grossman. Are you there?
I am here, and thanks so much for having me, Eddie.
All right. So what do you want me to call you? I can call you doctor. I can call you doc. I can call you Sharon. What do you want me to call you?
You can call me whatever you like. It's funny you ask, because I live in a building right now, and our building manager, he just calls me doctor. Oh, and okay. I think it's like my kids think it's the funniest thing. So I'm like, I have a name, but he just was like, hi doctor. And I'm like, I'm not your doctor, but you know,
so call me all kinds of things. So sort of related, unrelated, for whatever, I think it's because my parents are teachers. So like, you know, you always call a teacher Mr., Mrs., Miss, things like that. My older daughter's kindergarten teacher, who now is my younger daughter's kindergarten teacher, when my older daughter had left her class, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I still was calling her Mrs. Like, you know, she told me, call me Elizabeth, like call me by my first name. I can't do it. Even in my cell phone, like contact list, it's still under Mrs. And my wife adjusted very quickly, so she calls her Elizabeth. But I just can't do it. I don't. So if I was in your building, I might also call you doctor. I don't know.
All right. I'll take it. There's worse to be called.
So you caught my eye. I don't know, a month or two ago, on LinkedIn, which is a place that I'm on frequently. I don't post a lot of content there. Normal. I'm typically using it like for my day job, which is we had a little bit of a conversation a week or two ago. I work with HR professionals all the time, and that's been my forte professionally since 2011. So you had started posting some stuff about burnout and anxiety, and it caught my eye because a lot of times on this show, we talk about anxiety being a root for chronic pain, illness, symptoms, things like that. However, we've not really talked a lot about this concept of like corporate burnout and career burnout. And that's sort of what I'm interested in getting your take on. So maybe before we start there, I'd love to just get a little bit of background on you, whatever you're comfortable sharing, education-wise, background-wise, what got you into this as a particular, like a discipline or an interest?
Sure. So I think the first place to start is I was trained as a psychologist. And so for the last 20 plus years, I'd been working mostly with individuals doing therapy. And I came to see that there's some patterns, the kinds of people that I was helping and the things that I was helping them with. And if I had to kind of boil it down, I would say it was depression, anxiety, and trauma. So these are the things that we typically see, unless you're very specialized. And then around 2015, I was in a private practice. I started to slowly do some coaching on the side. And as I was, you know, over the years, progressively transitioning out of therapy and into coaching more and more, I wanted to really specialize in something. And I thought, you know, who are the people that I love working with the most? And it was high achievers.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're very driven. And being that I was a therapist and a lot of the folks that I was working with at the time were coming to me through insurance, what I found is that a lot of people were taking it in this very casual manner. So they would come into a session week after week. And I would say, so what do you remember from our last session? And a lot of times they wouldn't remember anything. And it really struck me that they were a little too comfortable with just their insurance paying for it and them showing up. And it was kind of what I call the check the box syndrome.
I literally was about to say, it's like checking a box. Okay, good.
Yeah, oh, it was like, okay, well, I came, so I did my part. And I'm like, no, because what we talk about in here is only useful if you then take it out into the real world and you start implementing it. So I really started to think of, and this isn't true obviously across the board, but I really started to think of a lot of the therapy clients as the folks that were a little bit less motivated because somebody else was footing the bill. And the coaching clients, they were really motivated because they weren't coming in due to depression or due to like a problem they were trying to fix. They were really like, how can you help me get to the next level, right? And these are already super high achievers, but they were very motivated. They had some skin in the game. And so I thought, you know, those are the people that I want to work with. And what do they really struggle with that I could put all of my years of experience, tools and skills and what have you to really help them? And I kind of landed on burnout.
Yeah.
Like a lot of them are putting in so much time, energy, effort into work, and they're burned out at the end of it. And it's hard because, you know, you kind of come into the world of work thinking, I'm just going to give it my all. I'm going to show up. I'm going to do everything right. And then I'm going to be successful. And nobody thinks like, I'm going to do all this stuff and then I'm going to burn out. And then like, where do I go from there? So I wanted to really empower them, give them some tools. Now, this was in 2018 when I started doing some research on the subject. And being that it was pre-COVID, there wasn't much written on it at that time. And everything that I found for the most part was on organizational change. So it was a lot of, if you are an organization, it's really your responsibility to do some things and have it be in such a way so that your folks aren't getting burned out. And I thought, A, how many organizations are actually going to do something about it proactively? B, if I'm working in that organization, I can't afford to sit around and wait for them to maybe do something down the road because I'm suffering right now. So I thought I got to give the workers something that they can help themselves with. So I started taking all of the things that I was teaching my therapy clients, and then I bundled it with the world of burnout and everything that I found in the literature and what people were talking about back then, and wrote a book that was basically teaching them a lot of the skills, a lot of the soft skills, a lot of the mindsets, a lot of the things that I felt they need to really thrive in their life. And it wasn't really just about burnout. I think these kinds of tools and skill sets and mindsets are the things that can help anybody thrive in anything. But I kind of framed it in the burnout you know, kind of framework. So so that's how it started. And since then, you know, I had the book, we had COVID, I started a podcast on burnout, I did all these things that were very burnout centric. And now I'm kind of taking a little bit of a step back and trying to figure out like, what comes before that, so I can even help prevent it more so. And one of the things that I know is that coming out of COVID, everybody was burned out. But now that we're years down the road from that, some people are kind of tired of talking about it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that it's not applicable to everybody, but what is applicable to everybody is everyone's stressed out. And if you think about what is burnout, it's something that happens as a result of chronic stress. So if we can talk about how to manage your stress and how to change your relationship to stress, now we can even mitigate burnout proactively.
Okay, so this is interesting. There's a couple things that jump out at me here. One of them is a lot of this podcast largely revolves around you being trained as a psychotherapist. You may have heard the name, but Dr. John Sarno was a really kind of famous doctor at NYU. That's kind of the nucleus of why this podcast was created, was a lot of his work. He talked about often that the number one character trait of people that had chronic pain or illness was perfectionism, which sounds like it's a cousin of what you were talking about, people that are high achievers. So this seems like it happens over and over again. What is it about that type of, I guess, character that you see where these are people that are just highly susceptible to this burnout? Because it seems like somebody that's a high achiever can be a high achiever forever, almost like fuel that never completely escapes the car. It can always run. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, actually, so I'm glad you brought up the perfectionism thing. When I launched my podcast on burnout, I called it Decode Your Burnout. And the reason was I wanted to make sure people knew that burnout wasn't a one-size-fits-all problem. In other words, there's different burnout profiles, as I saw it, based on the research that I had done. And to make it really easy for people to kind of self-diagnose, what I did was I call them the thinker, the feeler, and the doer. So the thinker is exactly what you're talking about. It's that perfectionist. It's the person that's like very much in their head. They're overanalyzing everything. It's hard for them to make decisions. They get just like too bogged down with information and worrying about making the wrong decision and worrying about making mistakes. And it's just like a lot of anxiety, right? It's very like future based.
Yeah.
So the reason those folks are likely to burn out is because they're just expending a lot of energy on things that they don't need to worry about as much, right? So it's not that you're careless and that you don't care about the quality of your work or doing a good job, but they kind of take it too far to the point where they're just wasting a lot of their resources. So I'll give you an example. I had a client who was a VP of a construction company. So she was doing really well in her career, but she had like crazy imposter syndrome, which is another trait of the thinker. You know, another one of those things that keeps you in your head. So she's always feeling like she doesn't really deserve to be there. And then even though I'm doing really well in my career and everybody's telling me how great I'm doing and they've promoted me and all this stuff, tomorrow they're going to find out that I don't really deserve to be here.
Yeah.
So there's always that future thinking. So for her, it wasn't just the imposter syndrome, but it was also the perfectionism. So how this showed up was she would have every Monday, she'd have to write a company-wide email telling them about the week that's coming, and she would craft out her message. But before she could actually press send on that message, she'd have to go back and reread it about 8 times beforehand. And if you think about how much extra time and angst that requires of a person to do everything so many times instead of just like do it once, hit the button, move on, then you can understand why burnout is very likely to happen. Right. Because they're just demanding such excellence of themselves everywhere they go. And they're also running really high on that fight or flight, where they're constantly worried about something going wrong and them getting blamed, or them feeling humiliated and them losing their job or something horrible happening. And so there's constant like that fight or flight energy, which is very much draining.
Do you find that, you know, once people come to you for help or guidance or coaching, is it like, so a lot of times the way that I describe or talk about this tension myositis syndrome is that people sort of have to, it's a lot, to me, I see it a lot like AA, where somebody sort of needs to want to be helped, but like they need to be able to A, like say that there's a problem, but they also really have to want to be helped. But the first is just identifying that, hey, like Taylor Swift says, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. For them to be able to even go down the path of being helped. Can you talk about that? That seems like it's a, like that'd be a tall mountain to climb with people that are used to being high achievers, used to being people that have a lot of accolades and they've done really well in their career, to sort of take a step back and say, okay, there's something about my personality here that is causing a problem or causing a riff. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I feel like, to your point, they're not going to be interested in things like coaching until they're ready for it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a massive burnout for them to be ready. So I mentioned the thinker. The feeler is somebody who, just really quickly, is really like your people pleaser. So they're putting everybody else's needs ahead of their own. They don't have very good boundaries. And that's primarily why they end up burning out. The doer is somebody who just is like a workhorse. They are just constantly doing something and they don't feel valuable unless they are. And in fact, the reason they do it is because underneath it all, there's this need to prove your worth. And they feel like the way I show that I'm valuable, that I'm worthy, is through my productivity. So I have to accomplish something. And then they have this kind of arrival fallacy thing going on where they say to themselves, well, when I finish this, then I'll finally be able to relax. Yeah. And finish it. And then they don't even have time to celebrate it because then there's another 15 things on their list. So it's kind of this perpetual machine. Now, those folks, I find, are the ones that end up burning out the hardest, because that's where your body's really falling apart and you don't pay attention, because it's like, well, I can't slow down. I got a deadline.
Yeah.
So those are the folks that, when I've talked to them, they're like, yeah, I've already been hospitalized 3 times. And only after the 3rd time are they like, maybe I need to change something.
Sure.
This isn't working. And that's when they'll come to coaching. Right. So I think it's very individual. It depends on kind of like, what is your mechanism that's burning you out? And sometimes, to your point too, is like, they don't even think that they're the problem. Like sometimes they are externalizing the blame. They're like, oh, it's my job. It's my boss. It's my industry. And if you're not going to take responsibility for your own burnout, then you're not going to look for a solution within. You're going to look for a solution without. And then it's really hard for you to make, you know, those are people that maybe are like, oh, I'm just going to quit my job. I'll go somewhere else. And then sometimes that's helpful. But a lot of the time they find that you take yourself wherever you go.
Yeah. Okay. So that lends itself well to the next question is, people that get to that point, you're talking about their bodies breaking down and that kind of thing. What are some of the, and everybody's different, but what are some of the anecdotes in your experience that tend to reach these people? Like what sort of changes or adaptations do they have to have? Like just give a couple of examples.
Yeah. So I worked with somebody who I would classify as a thinker. She came to me because she'd actually heard me on a podcast. And so, you know, it's interesting. So it was an industry specific podcast. So she was listening because that was her profession. She wasn't seeking me out on like a burnout specific podcast, but it spoke to her because she realized that something was going on for her too. So, you know, it's interesting also how people connect to the burnout piece. Anyway, so she comes to me and we're having our first kind of get to know you session. And I explained to her a little bit about how I work. And I tell her a lot of my work is focused on mindset. Because I really believe that you can't make a change until you have the right mindset. So we can give you all the tools and the skill sets and everything, but until you believe like this is something that needs to change and that you're the person that has to make that change, you're not going to use any of those tools and skills, right? So it has to start with that. So we're having this get to know you session, and she says to me, why should I have to work on myself when it's my industry that's the problem?
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, you know, I could kind of see that this was going to be perhaps like a harder sell because she wasn't bought in yet. I mean, she came to me, so it told me that she was clued into the fact that this is a problem. But then I think she was hoping that the solution would be some like magical thing that would take care of the outside world, and then she can continue being the way that she was.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I said to her, okay, I get that you think that it's not really your mindset that's a problem, it's your industry, but will you play with me for a minute? And she said, sure. I said, okay, so I just want you to name three things that you love about your work. And so she mentioned, you know, her three things. And I said, what would happen if every day you went to work and you only focused on those three things? And she said, wow, I never really thought about it that way, but I could tell that I would feel a lot lighter. So for me, it was like, okay, now you see that even though you think it's this external force, if you make a change within you, it can have a lasting effect.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not, and this is what I teach everybody, especially when it comes to stress management, is those stressors are always going to be there in one way, shape, or form. So if it's not this, it's something else. But it's what you do with it that matters. So if you get stressed out easily, if you're anxious, whatever is going on for you, that's not a result of the stressor. It's a result of the story that you have about the stressor.
Yeah.
And so long as you have this, in her case, it was like this victim mentality, right? For other people, it's something else. But so long as you have those kinds of things on board, you're going to feel negative, whether it's stress, overwhelm, depressed, lonely, whatever the case may be. So if you're having those negative emotions, you have to, as I say, rewind the tape and figure out what is the thought, the story, the belief, the interpretation, what is the meaning that I'm making out of this particular situation. And that's where you have the power to make the change.
You said the three, maybe personality types isn't the right, but you mentioned thinker, feeler, doer. Am I missing any in there?
Nope, that's it.
Is there one, and maybe this is a really subjective and tough question to answer, is there one of those that is hard-headed? Is not the right question, not the right way to phrase it, but is one of those more difficult to sort of reach or coach than another, than the other two? Like, is there one where it's like, oh, this is like the doer is the most challenging, or the thinker is the most challenging? Like, is there anything you can point at?
I don't think it has to do with, so those three types are really just pointing to what is burning you out. And I think that you can be hard-headed regardless of your type.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like you might be, like if you think about the most poignant case here is if you think about the feeler, those are the people that are the most heart-centered. Right? They care very much about other people. They care about perception. They care about doing the right thing. They care about all these things. Could you be a people pleaser and still be hard-headed? Maybe. Like if I told you, you know what? You really need to have some boundaries in place. This is why you're burning out. You know, you're just giving away the farm, and then you're like end up feeling exhausted, resentful, burned out. Like this isn't working.
Yeah.
If you, and this comes back to that mindset piece, if you don't have buy-in that what I'm selling you is what you need, you're not going to buy, right? You're not going to buy that concept from me or anything that goes along with it until you believe, because everybody's basically driven by fear. All our decisions are driven by fear. So if you're a people pleaser, there's some sort of a fear that if I don't do this, then this horrible thing's going to happen, right? Like, people aren't going to like me, or I don't know. There's some sort of a story there. So if I tell you, you have to have boundaries, but you think like, but that's going to prevent me from doing the thing that's going to like keep me safe in the world, then you might call it hard-headed, but there's, I just look for what is the driving mechanism and how to help people figure out that maybe their story is not the right story. Maybe this is what's getting them into trouble. Maybe there's a better story out there for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Are there, and I'm sure that there are, but like, it sounds like a lot of the time you're working with people that are coming from a place of like occupation or business. Like a lot of it is kind of like maybe work centered or work related, but you have this really wonderful therapy background, and you talked earlier about trauma and things like that. Are there, like, what are some themes in people's lives that are separate from work that you, that tend to come up? Or do they come up on repeat, or things that, hey, like, you're coming here for essentially like a work burnout issue, but there are overarching themes in life and some things you need to make some adjustments to. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I don't think we can compartmentalize. I think we're all human. And even if we burn out at work for a very specific work issue, I don't think we live in a vacuum. So we all carry stress from all aspects of our lives. So even the person who's at work, they might have had a fight with their spouse the night before. They might not have slept well. They might be under the weather. Their kid's driving them crazy. They just got a puppy. Their parent is dying. I mean, there's so much that we bring from our personal life into just everywhere we go. And then vice versa. Like, we take stress from work and then we bring it to the house too. So I think it's just that we're kind of like a sponge and we're absorbing all the stress from everything. And then we're just walking around with all of it. And we have to know how to deal with it so that we're not just, you know, growing to be this bigger and bigger stress ball.
Last question before we circle third that I'm curious about. There's a lot of discussion over the last, like, let's just say year or so, about the concept of remote work, and is it really the future and is it not? Because I think that some companies feel that it's a detriment while others will say it's an asset. Can you talk about the, I personally, for myself, I've been a remote worker now since it's been over 6 years now at this point. I can't imagine doing the commute 5 days a week that I did forever. But I'm out in the field and it's just the lifestyle of the job that I have. But can you talk about, if there are any, and I'm sure there are, negatives or people that subsequently are getting burned out or having issues like these that are remote workers that were not pre-COVID, like people that have transitioned out of the office life and sort of been not confined, but now work remotely all the time, which inherently a lot of people that work in an office all the time probably would love to be able to essentially roll out of bed, take a shower, go downstairs, and there's your office. But there's got to be a negative consequence there somewhere. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we saw it for sure. Actually, funny story. So I told you I started writing my book in 2018 and I was going to publish it March of 2020.
Of course. Yeah.
And then COVID happened and I was like, everybody's going to work from home. I can't publish this now.
Yeah.
So I held on to the book for a while. And then 6 months into COVID, everybody's burned out working from home.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, okay, now I'm going to publish it, because even though they're working from home and we didn't expect this, because we've been talking about work from home forever and people have always been very resistant to let, you know, because it's, everyone's always had this fear of, if I let my people go home to work, they're going to be sitting on the beach drinking tequilas all day and no work's going to get done.
Yeah.
What we saw instead during COVID and since then is that people have not, like, it, working from home, because I think maybe it was a new concept, maybe they're just not, well, it's not as structured as when you're in the office, people's work-life balance has gone by the wayside. And so a lot of people burned out during COVID working from home because they were just never off.
Yeah.
Your computer is in your bedroom and you live in that space and you work in that space. You're just always working. So instead of what we feared all these years, that people were not going to take it seriously and we're going to kind of go to the beach and do whatever, instead what we're seeing is people are just dialed in 24/7. Yep. And that's what we're burning out. So it's kind of an interesting thing. And to your point, like, I think for some industries and for some roles within certain industries, working from the office is better, but I think from a productivity perspective, at least in the short term, what we see is that for a lot of people, working from home is much more productive. They're less disrupted. I think the key for sustainability, if you're going to work from home, is better structure, better boundaries, knowing when to cut it off and not have it be this 24/7 cycle.
What's maybe this is just a separate thing that I was thinking about recently. And maybe there is no real answer to this. And it's like, well, just delete the app. And maybe that's all that there is. Are you a fan of, because we haven't really talked, and I know I just said this would be the last question, and then I have this other question. But you talked about structure and sort of the separation of work and home. And some people have just this, like for me, my office is in the garage. I can very easily leave my office by just going inside the house. So I don't have this crossover, this imminent crossover that happens all the time where I'm always in my work environment. I have a good separation via a door, and not everybody has that.
Correct.
What about, like, you know, my work apps are on my personal phone, for instance. When I go on vacation, all those get deleted. They're all gone. But what about, you know, most people, that's not the case. What about the accessibility of, like, my work email or Teams or, you know, Slack or whatever is always on my phone and people can always reach me? Like, are you a big, you know, don't have your work apps on your personal phone person, or are you a, hey, it's a necessity because this is business and we should all be, you know, always be accessible? Like, what's kind of your just take on that? And that maybe that's not in the scope of what you generally talk about, but I'm curious with your expertise, what you think.
So I think it's not a one size fits all because it depends on what your responsibilities are. But I think for most people, it really comes down to expectations. So maybe I'm not somebody that needs to be tuned in all the time, but because it's on my phone, I just get that dopamine hit every time I check my phone. And so I'm going to keep checking it. And then it just kind of creeps into my personal life. If you don't want that to happen, you've got to be a lot more intentional.
Yeah.
And what that means is that you've got to decide ahead of time, what is that boundary for you? Is it like I clock off at 5, I clock off at 6? What is it for you? And then it's about setting expectations with everyone else. And you could say something like, you know, feel free to send me an email any time of day, but I won't be checking it after 5 until the next morning.
Yeah.
Right. It's like the other day, I have an accountant that lives on the West Coast and I'm on the East Coast. And I sent him a text message and he got really like kind of snarky with me. Jokingly so, but still he was like, you know, I was just falling asleep and it was like 4 in the morning and then your text came in and I'm like, what are you doing sleeping with your phone? I'm like, you're gonna blame me for sending the text message. Don't like have it right by your ear when you're going to sleep. So I think we all have to have these boundaries because, you know, we can't stop the world, right? People are gonna be emailing and texting and doing whatever, and that's totally fine. It's just that we have to decide not to sleep with our phones in our bedrooms, not to be checking our phones all day long, you know, to have something that cuts it off. And it only happens if you're intentional.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Sharon, where can people find you online? They like what you're saying. They're interested in talking to you more, reading your content or checking out what you have to offer. Where can they go?
Yeah, so my website is simply my name. It's drsharongrossman.com. And I've got lots of free resources on there for people who are interested in the subject of burnout, mindset, stress, all the things that we talked about. I've got blogs and I've got the podcast stuff all in there and all kinds of downloadables. So feel free to check that out. And then all my books are on Amazon. And the only social platform that you're really going to find me on is LinkedIn. So it's just / Sharon Grossman.
Awesome. Hang tight here on the line. I'm going to fake end the podcast, but stay on the line. And we'll chat a bit more. Sharon, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Eddie. It was fun.